Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Presented by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. Their Alexandria location now open. Their Ashburn location now open, and they are taking appointments. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle. This is the two-man lineup this week. I believe you're off for 2 weeks after this.
That's right. Looking forward to it.
And you're going on a vacation. You're actually going somewhere.
Getting out of town. Going to get away. Hopefully it's going to be nice and warm.
Heading beautiful. To the woods.
Maybe we'll go there. Yeah, we're going to be staying in Jupiter, Florida for
Stalk
a week.
Stalk Tiger Woods a little bit.
Whatever. Just looking to get away. Just looking to sleep in for a couple weeks.
All right, Victory Monday here on the Junkies. We got D'Angelo Hall joining us coming up in 20 minutes. Redskins, of course, get a 16-13 win over Jacksonville. That snaps their four-game losing streak. Right now, though, we're going to go around the NFL with the Junkies Blitz, brought to you by the Purple Heart Foundation. And we'll start with where the Redskins fit into the NFC picture right now with that win. At 7-7, they currently are the 8th seed in the conference. And the third seed in the division. But by winning that game, they're just a half game back of the Minnesota Vikings for a wild card spot. And they're now just a game back of the Dallas Cowboys in the division, as the Cowboys were shut out by the Colts 23-0. In that game, Zeke contained to just 87 yards rushing. I know that's not bad, but the big thing there is Amari Cooper has been fantastic for the Cowboys for a month or so. And in this game, Dak Prescott has a pick, only throws for 206 yards. So the Cowboys, who had been rolling, get shut out by the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, good. Have them.
Colts, by the way, still on the outside looking in at a playoff spot at 8-6 in the AFC. The Ravens right now have the 6th seed, and they, of course, beat Tampa yesterday 20-12. Ravens 4-1 with Lamar Jackson starting, EB.
Yeah, I know. It's kind
of. They say he can't throw the ball. I watch. Look, they don't ask him to make these throws.
It's a little
unfair. He can throw a nice slant.
Yeah, he can make some throws.
You know, he throws some bad throws, but the bottom line is, with Lamar Jackson, and he contributes a lot to it at 95 yards rushing, they ran for 242 yards on 49 carries. So even though, by and large, the league is set up for quarterbacks who sling the ball all over the field and get a ton of yards, the Ravens doing it differently. 4 out of 5 with Lamar Jackson. Barring an injury, Joe Flacco's never going to play another game, right, for the Baltimore Ravens.
Well, they're probably going to release him or trade him. There was some talk, you know, maybe the Redskins. You know, the problem
is, I don't know how they could do it financially.
They can't do it financially. If they can figure out a way to make it work financially, sure. Be a huge upgrade for us, it was, you know, provided that Alex is not able to play anytime soon.
Rappaport said there would be a big market for him.
I think so. A proven quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not great, but he's a proven quarterback. It's so hard to find guys that could play. But clearly, Lamar Jackson has given that team a spark, and you can't blame him for what they've done.
Yeah, I mean, you think Jacksonville can use Joe Flacco?
Of course.
Cody Kessler throwing for 57 yards?
Of course.
Blake Bortles, Mr. Turnover?
Oh, yeah.
So your Ravens, 8-6. They are currently the 6th seed in the AFC. The Redskins' opponent next on Saturday, the Tennessee Titans, they're in the AFC wildcard picture, but chasing the Ravens with the Colts. They improved 8-6 with a shutout win over the Giants, 17-0. In that game, you know, we're talking about how the Ravens do it. Titans are similar. Marcus Mariota had 88 yards passing in the win.
Yeah, they're not impressive. Like, we just look at them sort of like on their roster or whatever. But man, I'm largely just want to say they're just the Titans, and I kind of believe that. But man, if you look at who their resume and who they've beaten this year,
Patriots a couple weeks
ago. They've beaten the Texans, they've beaten the Jags twice, they've beaten the Eagles, they've beaten the Cowboys. You mentioned the Patriots. They beat the Giants, they shut them out this week. The Titans are no picnic.
Yeah, and right now Derrick Henry's rolling. 2 weeks ago against the Jaguars, Derrick Henry had 238 yards and 4 touchdowns. He follows that up with 33 carries for 170 yards and 2 touchdowns. So Titans and the Colts chasing the Ravens in the AFC for that last wild card. Of course, the big game yesterday was between the Steelers and the Patriots. 425 kick, and the Steelers snapped their losing streak, beat the Patriots 17-10. What was rare here is Tom Brady had a red zone pick. When does that happen?
Yeah.
Let alone against the Steelers.
Yeah, it was interesting the way that last drive played out. He got him right down the field, you know, and then like 20, 30 seconds, but then they just stalled out. Couldn't
4
get
shots
anything going.
The end zone, couldn't get it.
Yeah.
I saw on one of the blogs we all look at, Larry Brown Sports, somebody said this is the end of the dynasty. I would say it's a little too early. There are some signs, and a lot of people say, Gronk, if you look at his numbers, they're not nearly what they have been in the past. Like, a lot of people believe he's slowed down, and obviously Brady, you're not accustomed to him having red zone interceptions and mistakes in the previous game. He had a mistake at the end of the first half of that game against the Dolphins where they should have had some points on the board and they ran out of time. The leaking little oil. They're still 9-5, and they're still going to win the division. But what it means right now is with them losing and the Texans, who won on Saturday against the Jets, the Texans right now are the 2 seed. And Tom Brady very rarely has to play on wild card weekend. Right now, if the Texans win out, even if the Patriots win their next 2 games and they have a couple of easy games lined up, the Texans would earn that bye, and then either the Chiefs or Chargers would be the 1 seed in the AFC, and the Patriots would be playing on wild card weekend.
The Texans they're at the Eagles, and then they have the Jags. So maybe the Eagles game might be a challenge for them.
Eagles could be tough. Look, Eagles upset the Rams last night, 30-23. Nick Foles comes in there, does some work, particularly to Alshon Jeffrey. He had 8 passes targeted Alshon Jeffrey, all of them caught 160 yards. They get a couple of touchdowns from Wendell Smallwood. They hold on. Look, Jared Goff has, I think, 6 or 7 interceptions in the last 2 games.
Mm-hmm. No touchdowns last night. 339 yards, but no touchdowns to 2 picks.
So that's big for the Saints. Saints play tonight against Carolina.
What happened to Gurley, like injury-wise?
I know he put up some big numbers.
I saw them say something they were going to check him out. So I don't know.
I think he was playing in the end.
He had 10 receptions for 76 yards, and he had 12 carries.
I think he had a catch on the last drive.
Yeah.
But they come up short. They fall to 11-3. So right now, it would look like you have the Saints as the 1 seed in the NFC if they win tonight against Carolina. You've got the Rams as the 2 seed, but the Bears are just a game back. Bears, they get a win against Green Bay yesterday. Mitch Trubisky has a couple touchdown passes. Tariq Cohen, man. Tiny guy. He's unbelievable. He finds the end zone. But Khalil Mack, 2.5 sacks in the game. He actually sacked Aaron Rodgers once with his back.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers was sacked 5 times, threw a pick. So his interception streak, or his no interception streak, was broken yesterday. They're officially, I don't know if it's official, but
no,
they're 5-1.
They're officially
they're
eliminated.
They're done. Yeah. They're eliminated from the playoffs. And I actually think that the Bears now, you look at the Bears, they play the Vikings on the last game. And the Bears, I know I was talking to Grant Paulson about this yesterday. I was like, he's like, oh, well, the Bears are going to rest their starters. Minnesota's going to win that game. Well, the Bears now are going to grasp, they're just a game back of the Rams.
Right.
So they're gonna play it out and try and win these last two
road
games.
You got a road game at the 49ers and then at the Vikings.
Yeah, but I think that look, the Redskins have to take care of their business. But in some ways, with the Vikings just being a half game ahead of them in the wild card, the Bears chasing the Rams maybe helps them, because I could see the Bears beating the Vikings on the last week of the season.
Yeah, that could possibly happen.
Vikings did get the win, though, yesterday. And it was interesting. They fired their offensive coordinator, and there was a clear direction change. And the direction change was they're going to run the football a lot more and not have Kirk Cousins drop back as much. They had 40 rushes for 220 yards. Dalvin Cook goes for 136 as they beat Miami 41-17. Kirk did have 2 touchdown passes, also had a pick 6. People love the highlight. So they right now are the 6th seed in the NFC. Seattle is the 5 seed. They were upset by the Niners 26-23 in overtime. Nick Mullins has a touchdown pass. They also had a kickoff return. You look at the numbers for Seattle. I mean, Russ Wilson had a big game. Chris Carson goes for a buck 19. Why did they lose to the Niners?
Super sloppy. They had 14 penalties for, I think, a franchise record, 148 yards.
Sound like the Redskins.
I mean, it was dreadful. By the way, that 49ers stadium is brand new. It might have the worst field in the NFL.
Really?
Guys were injured all the time. It looked big chunks coming out all over the place. It's terrible. But the Seahawks were awful. I mean, they didn't deserve that at all. So now they play the Chiefs next Sunday night. They'll probably lose that. That's at home. Then they have to win in week 17 at home against the Cardinals.
They're backsliding, telling you.
Yeah, but you got the Cardinals.
It was a poop game. It was a poop fest.
One last thing to mention. This was from Saturday. Baker Mayfield, another 2 touchdown passes. Yep. Greg Williams might get that job in Cleveland. How bad is Hugh Jackson? I was talking to my son about this.
He deserves it.
Because my son was always harping about Hugh Jackson. I was like, how does Hugh Jackson still have his job when he did have his job? And I was like, terrible team. They didn't have any talent, blah, blah, blah. But
no, he was just terrible.
Hugh Jackson turns out terrible because they're winning games now.
Greg Williams has won more games in 6 games than he did in 3 years. I mean, he won 3 games, right? In 3 years? And he's already got 4 wins. He's 4-2.
And a lot of people thought that pick of Baker at number 1 was a reach, thought that like Sam Darnold would have been the better play. And Darnold may be fine.
He's the real deal.
And we'll see longer, but Baker can play.
Yeah, he's just a gamer. That's all he is. He's just a gamer. It's not going to be pretty. He's going to make some bad throws. He's going to make some mistakes, but he's going to keep you in it.
No other game's really worth mentioning. So, AFC, it's going to come down to KC or the Chargers, right? They have the same record, but KC has the tiebreaker right now as the 1 seed. Houston right now, the 2. But I love it. I'm anti-New England. I love it if New England has to play on wild card weekend. I don't believe they've ever made the Super Bowl when they've had to do that. Hmm. Generally speaking, it's Tom Brady at home. They win that game, and then they're in the AFC Championship.
It's a different ballgame if they don't have the home field.
All right, coming up next, we get back to the Redskins on a victory Monday. D'Angelo Hall, former Redskins corner, joins us every Monday at 8:20 here on the Junkies.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Guess it's haters. I'm doing deals like the majors. Ice cream sneakers. I signed my first skater. So you could pay 3 and buy yourself some Babesters. Bulletproof on the t-shirts because they hate us. Dude like Snoop say, step your game up. Double deck a boat.
Welcome back, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington on a victory Monday as the Redskins beat the Jags. And joining us right now, as he does every Monday on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, is our pal D'Angelo Hall, who's driven by your D.C. area Acura dealers and the 2019 Acura MDX. Test drive the best-selling third-row luxury SUV of all time today at your local D.C. area Acura dealer. Find the closest one to you at dcacuradealers.com. And, D, we've been talking about it all morning. Great defensive performance, but you got to feel great for Josh Johnson getting his first career win.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. Just hearing Josh Johnson all during the week speak to the media and, just kind of hearing what his mindset was before the game, hearing this kid talk after the game. I say kid. Heck, he's a 10-year vet, 32 years old. But, I mean, just hearing this guy talk, man, you can't do anything but root for him. And, I mean, it wasn't pretty, but it was a very Alex Smith-type performance.
Yep.
He protected the ball. He got out the pocket when he needed to. He made plays with his feet. And he threw some passes in there that you felt good about moving forward.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I've just been blown away with the guy. Look, we all love underdog stories. How could you not? But I think people sleep on what a great athlete he is. I mean, there's a reason why. People goof on it. But when you're signed by 13 teams in the NFL, you have some talent. Right, they don't just sign anybody. And he's been around for a long time for a reason. So I was glad to see him finally get that win. I know it was important to him. And the team seems to respond to him, right? When Sanchez was there, no disrespect to Mark, but for whatever reason, the team didn't seem to really have a lot of faith. But with Josh, and you saw it from the beginning, they seemed to believe in him.
Yeah, exactly. Anytime you have kind of that dynamic where you don't feel like the team will follow this guy, you got to make a change. And, you know, I didn't think it would be that evident, but watching the way that team performed against Jacksonville and then watching the way they came out last week and performed to start the game, it was a night and day difference. And, you know, those guys definitely felt like, well, look, at least it appeared that they felt like they were much more energized knowing that Josh Johnson was going to be their quarterback.
Right, right.
Hey,
for
I'm
sure.
wondering, in all your years in the league, whether it was the Falcons, the Raiders, or the Redskins, was there ever anybody kind of like a Josh Johnson who you saw in camp, maybe didn't make the team, that you were like, man, this guy should get a shot somewhere?
But there had to have been a bunch of guys. You might not come to mind, but I bet there had.
It was. I mean, I can even remember being my rookie year, man. Could you imagine we had Ty Detmer at quarterback? And Ty was, you know, obviously an older guy. He had won a Heisman Trophy. And, you know, he was a very, very talented quarterback. But a guy, a journeyman in the NFL. I think it was probably his 14th year.
Right.
He drove a minivan to practice. He was the ultimate backup and ultimate teammate. And I just remember him in practice, you know, lighting us up to the point. I'm like, man, why is this dude not, like, starting somewhere? And, you know, obviously we had Michael Vick at the time, and so he wasn't going to jump in front of Michael Vick. But, you know, he was definitely one of those veteran guys who had a heck of a presence in the locker room, who knew the offense, knew how to play the quarterback position, comfortable being a backup, being a, you know, a career backup, which is nothing wrong with that. But, you know, me as a young player, I'm like, man, why is this dude not playing somewhere? Because he literally lit us up day in and day out in practice.
Talk about AP's day yesterday. That might have been the most impressive 51-yard day I've seen, because it wasn't very successful. The line was struggling. You know, they're so banged up there, jumping off. Not creating holes, going against, you know, a tough front there, and yet they continued to feed the football to him, and finally he broke through on that last drive.
Yeah, and that to me, you know, was very telling, because normally you see Washington get away from the run. When it's not working, they get away from it. They tend to want to drop back a lot, and we knew that, you know, Jay Gruden needed to protect Josh Johnson a little bit, and he did that. He relied on the run game. Even when it wasn't working, when they were grinding out those 1 or 2 yard gains, you know, there was a couple runs that I don't think any other guy besides AP would have been able to make anything happen. But you know, we were able to talk to Trent Williams after the game, and Trent said, when we're balanced, even though the run might not be working, but when we're balanced and we can explode off the ball as offensive linemen in the run game and kind of, you know, get a chance to, you know, catch our breath and not always be in a pass rush setting, you know, it gives them a chance to not feel like that the defense is just teeing off on them every time as a pass.
Right.
And, you know, I know that's something, you know, I've spoke to him about at length, just like, you know, but the run's not working. It doesn't matter, D-Hall. We have to run the ball, because if we don't run the ball, these pass rushes, and nowadays in the league, it is a pass rushing specialist league. These guys are just teeing off on these offensive linemen. And so, for us to know that we had to protect Josh Johnson, and for us to actually do it, was very encouraging moving forward.
All right, let's talk about the defense, because obviously those guys were the stars of the day also. Look, a lot of it helps that you're playing Jacksonville. They're poop. I said it all week. They're Jacksonville. They've got 4 wins for a reason. I think they had a total of 20 yards net passing.
Goodness.
They were really, really bad. But we dominated. I mean, Ryan Kerrigan, I think, had his best game of the year. I thought Allen and Payne, they did their work. They showed up big time. I thought Mason Foster, after having a tough week, showed up pretty well. A lot of guys played pretty darn well on defense.
Yeah, I mean, Jacksonville didn't offer much in the form of resistance when it came to the passing game. You
right.
talked about 20 yards passing. I mean, that's horrendous. There's no way you can win a football game in the National Football League that way.
Right.
But Jacksonville was still in it at the end, which is very weird. But this defense did make plays. They were able to get pressure on them. still struggled a little bit against the run, which is very concerning moving forward, because you're facing a Tennessee team who kind of has been operating the same way that Jacksonville team looks. They're not going to try to throw the ball around a lot. Mariota had 88 yards yesterday, and Henry had another big day. He rushed for 170 yards. And so you couple that up with, you know, Deion Lewis and a couple of the Mariota runs, they're up over 200 yards rushing. And so it's going to be another one of those type of slugfest games. And, you know, Vrabel's defense isn't quitting. At times, Jacksonville defense over the last couple of weeks has looked as though they gave up a little bit. And so, you know, it was encouraging, though, to see them guys really have some success against a really stout defense, a defense that man for man is as good as any defense in the National Football League. That gives, I think, a lot of those offensive linemen and a lot of those guys on that offense a little bit of confidence moving forward that they can do some things, especially knowing that, you know, Tennessee's a really, really good opponent.
Hey, we're joined by D'Angelo Hall, former Redskins corner. Of course, you can watch him on NBC Sports Washington now on Sundays after the game. Talk about how hot Clinton Dix, because he has really struggled, I think, in a Redskins uniform, but yesterday probably his best game.
Yeah. I mean, up until that, and even in that game, it was certain times that HaHa was moving around that you were kind of like, man, you know, he looks a little stiff. He doesn't look like that explosive player that, you know, that we thought we were getting. And so, I mean, but, you know, pulling that trade off was a deal, you know, was a situation where, I think this team felt like, hey, look, we think we can add an explosive player in our secondary, and let's get a test drive. Let's test drive him out. Let's see if he's who we think he is. You know, the whole trade in general for HaHa, I kind of got behind it because, you know, knowing the kind of player he's been in the past in Green Bay and talking with some of the coaches in Green Bay, you know, I played for a couple of those coaches out there, so I was able to kind of call those guys and, you know, get the scouting report on them. And they felt like he was a great player. They felt like where they lost HaHa was by not giving him that fifth-year extension, he kind of, you know, didn't play as hard or didn't mean as much to him. So I thought coming here, extra motivation to go out there and make some plays. And, you know, you really haven't seen him make those splash plays that you're used to seeing him make. He's been a Pro Bowl caliber safety. And so, you know, I heard Monte Nichols was going to start to get back, you know, getting more reps. And so maybe they're not as in love with HaHa as we first thought. But, you know, he did play a really good game yesterday, and they need for him to make plays. They need for DJ Swearinger to make plays. It was hard, though, because, you know, the way Jacksonville approached the game, it was going to be almost impossible for any player in our secondary to really influence the game besides making tackles. And so you saw HaHa come up and make a couple really good tackles, and really that's what you need for him moving forward.
All right, let's talk about what's sort of transferable the next week against Tennessee, because, you know, offensively, they're challenged too. I mean, they've only scored 3 points more than we have all year. Same offensive production, right? It's pretty remarkable. Better defense, we know that. But here's what's scary is when you look at the wins they have. I mean, they've knocked off the Texans, the Eagles, the Patriots, the Cowboys, the Jags twice. They just shut out the Giants. I mean, they've got actually a pretty impressive resume.
Yeah, and that's why you always, when you see Tennessee's schedule and who they've been successful against, you always kind of give them the nod because, you know, the quality of wins that they have versus their opponents is a lot different than ours.
Right.
And so, you know, they've beat some really good teams and they've lost to some really bad teams, so they've been pretty inconsistent. And in the National Football League, you got to be consistent. And so, you know, though Tennessee has a lot of weapons and they scare me, I like the matchup. Even with Josh Johnson out there, quarterback, I like the matchup because I feel like where we kind of struggle a little bit is in pass defense, and I don't feel like they're going to be able to really throw the ball all over the field. I think Minuski will put eight in the box and make them throw the ball. He's not going to let Mariota run it around too much, and he's ultimately going to stop Derrick Henry from running the ball. You know, this team was really good at stopping really good running backs, and I think they'll try to get back to that. You know, anytime you have a big-time guy coming here who's put up numbers is a challenge. And I think these guys will rise to the occasion. They know that Derrick Henry's been running the ball very well. You know, I think this linebacking core and this front four are going to fight like heck to make sure that dude doesn't have the kind of day he's been having.
And the thing about Derrick Henry is if you looked at his numbers this year, he had never hit 60 yards this season until the last two games where he goes for basically 400 yards combined in the last 2 weeks. He hadn't done anything all season long.
Absolutely mind-blowing. I'm watching him run the ball, and I'm thinking, how are they just able to get him going over the last 2 weeks? It makes no sense. But because I'm a Redskin fan, it would be just in time for him to play us that they're starting to roll and they're starting to figure out how to get this guy the ball. And he's been, like you said, lights out these last 2 weeks.
But I agree with you. It's an easier team to prepare for because it's not like they have a Julio Jones on the outside. It's not like Mariota is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. You have to take away Derrick Henry first and then make Mariota beat you.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that game plan has it's been laid out for them. And like I said, facing a very similar style of offense this week will, I think, help prepare those guys because, you know, obviously, like I said, they gave up a lot of rushing yards to Jacksonville, and they know that Tennessee is going to come in here and try to do the same thing. And so they have to turn it up a notch, make sure they're exactly in their run gaps, rely on their own assignments and doing what they're supposed to do and not try to do too much. When you try to do too much and make a play, you tend to get out of position or guys are trying a little too hard. If they just play for each other and take care of what they can control, you know, I think they'll be all right down in Tennessee. Like I said, it scares me a little bit, but I think they'll ultimately be all right.
D, I don't know if you watched the Eagles-Rams game, but it's the second week in a row that the Rams have lost. A couple weeks ago, everybody's talking about the Rams. They're going to be the Super Bowl favorite. They'd surpassed the Saints in everybody's minds, and they kind of get shut down a week ago. And then last night, Nick Foles doesn't have the touchdown numbers, but every time he threw to Alshon Jeffrey, that was a long completion. Impressive win for the Eagles. And what's happened to the Rams the last couple weeks?
You know what? It's crazy because it almost feels like the Eagles are trying to recreate that run with Nick Foles. And, it couldn't have happened more like a Disney-like script than what we saw last night because nobody thought the Eagles stood a chance because the Rams are the Rams. They're this high-powered offense. They have a lot of great weapons. They have a lot of talented players on defense. Even though they haven't played great on defense, they have a lot of talented players on defense. And so, yeah, I didn't give them a chance. But you see, when Nick Foles is in the game, he tends to like Alshon Jeffries a little more. Carson Wentz is always relying on Zach Ertz. And Zach Ertz is a great receiver, but Zach Ertz is never going to stress you out stretching the field. He's going to be more of those possession routes and things like that. And so Alshon Jeffries was able to get some big shots downfield to help that Eagles offense. And, I mean, the Rams, Jared Goff starting to look a little normal, man. Jared Goff is a guy who we were saying, a couple weeks ago, he should be in the MVP conversation. And now you see teams are starting to play a little more quarters against these Sean McVay offenses, and they're able to contain it a little bit. They're taking that deep ball away from them and that explosive play away, and they're making these guys drive the ball downfield. And Jared Goff, who we were about to put in that category of being elite, is starting to look like the Jared Goff we wanted to say was a bust. And, you know, I know Sean and Jared and the rest of those guys on that staff are going to try to fight like heck to try to figure it out because, yeah, you don't want to be trending down when it comes getting close to the playoffs. And the Rams are definitely trending down because there's no way on paper that the Eagles should have stood a chance in L.A. versus the Rams. It's just unthinkable. But that's why you play the games, man, because anything can happen.
Yeah, I believe Goff had 7 interceptions in the first 12 games, and he's got 6 in the last 2.
And what, 1 touchdown?
Hmm. Yeah.
Yep,
it's
none,
crazy.
None yesterday.
It is crazy. He does not look like himself at all. He looks nervous. I mean, even his body language doesn't look the same when he's out there. And to me, that's the troubling part because if he's just missing throws, okay, we can deal with that. We can coach him up, all those kind of things. But mentally, he just looks exhausted. He just doesn't look like he's as in control of the situation as I thought he was.
Right.
Still having a pretty good year with 27 touchdowns.
Overall, pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. Overall, because he had a heck of a start to the season. You know, he had a heck of a start to the season. Take those numbers and then don't give him this last two games of bad performances with the six interceptions and the one touchdown. And what are we talking about? I mean, we're still talking about an MVP caliber season. And so, you know, like I said, I think the Rams will eventually figure it out. It's just going to be even tougher for them now because the road's going to go through New Orleans. And New Orleans is a hell of a place to play. And I know the Rams were hoping they could keep winning games to make it so that they didn't have to go to New Orleans. But, hell, they're going to have to go down there and win a game. Everybody is at this point.
Hey, last one for you. What is more likely? The Redskins handle their business to get into the playoffs or the other teams collapse, meaning – Minnesota, who's just a half game ahead, Seattle, who lost yesterday at 8-6, Carolina, all those teams kind of in the picture, Philadelphia. What's more likely?
I don't think they collapse because I'm almost positive. Who does Minnesota play? Minnesota has Detroit,
and then the Bears,
Chicago, right? Yep. And if it wasn't that Chicago would rush their players, I would think that.
Yeah, but the Bears are going to be chasing the Rams now. They're just a game back of the Bears for the 2 seed.
Yeah, but depending on what happens this week, I think they'll ultimately win their game. I think the Rams win. I don't think they can catch the Rams, but you're right. Hopefully, the Bears are playing everybody and they take out Minnesota, and we have a chance to get into that playoff race. And I told somebody, I said, the NFC East is not great by any means. And to think that the NFC East can get two teams in the playoffs right now is mind-boggling.
Because it's crazy.
You never would have thought that. Right. You never would have thought that 3, 4, 5 weeks ago. But the division is still wide open. Like I said, I don't quite think we can catch Dallas at this point with their remaining schedule. But I do think that Minnesota will falter, and I think we'll get a chance. I think Kirk Cousins will help us out. Even though they look great, man, they made a change in offensive coordinators. And, I mean, you can tell. I tell guys all the time, when you have a position coach, you know, and you're venting to that position coach about, man, I wish the coordinator did this. I wish the coordinator did that. I wish he did this. And then that position coach is elevated to coordinator. He knows what you've been talking about. And I know Kirk is not a selfish guy. He likes to throw the ball, but he's not selfish. He wants to win games. And he knows that when he has that explosive running game going with Dalvin Cook and Murray, they have a chance. And they were able to run that ball. That offense looked different, you know, yesterday. And so, you know, I think the Bears can beat them. But, man, the way that offense was rolling in Minnesota yesterday, man, if they're able to keep doing that, man, I don't know if we can get in.
All right, thanks, D. Always fun talking to
you. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thanks, fellas.
That's D'Angelo Hall. Coming up in the next hour, John Keim covers the Redskins for ESPN.com on a Victory Monday.
Woo!
Here on The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right. It's a victory Monday here. We're breaking down the Skins game all show. We'll continue through the 9 o'clock hour. But I wanted to just give a little side note here, just to break up the sort of the monotony of the Skins talk for a moment. You know, Drabby, you might be interested in this, probably more so than JP, but I've talked about this in the past recently, just about how scary it is these days, like how we're monitored with everything that we do. You know, if you search for something, next thing you know, it shows up like on your Instagram feed.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
I bought one thing at Macy's now, like they predict what I'm going to get every time when
Macy's
I pop on.
Is apparently, and I talked about this last week, they're notorious for it. They actually track your phone.
Right.
So when you walk in a store, if your Wi-Fi's on,
They know where you're going.
They
monitor your behavior.
They monitor, in front of the Nike shoes for 5 minutes, and then you go over and you're looking at the lady's perfume,
right.
And then they send you ads or whatever.
Then they push the ads your way.
It's just unbelievable, right? Yeah. And so, you know, we kind of have gotten used to this. It's been happening for years. You search something, and then all of a sudden those ads start appearing on your Facebook page or whatever. But now I think it's getting next level. So yesterday I was driving, and my daughter was in the car with me and my son. And I think I was driving. So, you know, I want to be a good example. And
Don't text and drive.
Yeah, I don't want to text and drive at all. And we were actually talking about this wallet that I'd seen advertised. I don't know. It's goofy. It's like a little techie little wallet. It's called a Ridge wallet. Okay. Blah, blah, blah. It's just like an aluminum or titanium little thing. JP, you would like it. It's for minimalists.
Put your cards in there,
and then it has a little money clip for your money, right? But it's like $80 or something, but it's really small, compact. And I said, and my kid seemed somewhat interested, and I said, Megan, who was in the passenger seat, my son was in the back seat, I said, Megan, just pull it up on my phone. This is exactly what I said. Just Google Ridge Wallet, okay? And so she picks up my phone, she Googles Ridge Wallet, right? And then we look at it and go, oh, yeah, yeah, I've seen something like that. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's something, whatever. Don't think anything of it. Later that day, my daughter comes downstairs and she says, I'm getting Ridge Wallet ads on my phone, on her phone. Now, you tell me how that happened. She's getting Ridge Wallet ads on her social media feeds on her phone. Somehow, I think Google's listening, and somehow it got to her, like her phone was right next to my phone. And maybe even when I said, Google this, it kind of activated it. I know you're supposed to say like, okay, Google, right? And then you say something. Like if you want to voice something, maybe simply just saying Google this, Google picked up on it, and that's freaking scary.
I don't know. I get those things for cookies all the time, and I just say yes. I just agree.
I know I always accept them too.
I agree. I got cookies all over the place.
Drabby, do you have any explanation for that?
I mean, there's got to be some sort of mobile device targeting, unless she has some sort of login on yours. From her phone.
It's completely her own phone. None of my stuff is on her phone.
Perfect setup because she needs to buy you a Christmas gift. Suggestive Christmas gift to your daughter.
But how does Google know that that's her phone? I don't get it.
I don't know. Tis the season to buy things. By the way, yesterday at the pregame show,
there
were some products being hawked. We need to bring in shorts. I don't know if you're aware of this.
I wasn't aware of this at the time.
Blue Shorts, who hosts The Download on weekends, I believe 7 a.m. on Saturdays, he does something called Bit Day with Tom, who, of course, is the producer on The Grant and Danny Show. And they came out to Glory Days yesterday. And I wasn't aware that the shirt was in production, but I believe that EB would probably be bitter.
No, I'm not bitter. I actually thought the shirt was just the picture of me like from FanFest. Right,
now there's a whole front and back.
That's
so shorts
picture.
Is here.
Yeah.
So the shirt has EB on the back, which they say looks like you look homeless because you got a backpack and you got your white hair and your beard. But on the front,
I just didn't shave.
Can I read the front? So shorts is here. You can, I guess maybe you don't know. It says Eric is a loving father, avid lacrosse fan, and amateur photographer. He last was seen at the Stanley Cup parade telling a child he would wear TJ Oshie's underwear if he could.
Right.
And then there's a reward. It's actually a picture with you and Angie Goff. I was like, Angie Goff could end up suing.
Yeah.
I don't know that you got her permission.
They didn't get mine.
But they're selling these shirts at pregame shows.
That's good for them. A little entrepreneurial spirit.
Apparently they're not allowed to say it on the air.
Is that true?
Well, I just figured it'd just be better to hold it up and people can figure it out if they'd like to.
So what was the inspiration behind this t-shirt?
Are you part of the bit?
Yeah, well.
So is it your company too? Are you guys like?
Yeah, Tom Daly and I, we concocted Bit Day. I don't know, probably about a couple years ago. And basically that's just the origins is, you know, we'll find a funny photo and then Tom will tweet it out with the hashtag BitDay. And it just lets everybody know that we're open for business for bits for that day.
And an example would be, I know the one that I'd seen before was the Asa Akira photo where she's a porn star. You did a bit where she had you in like a collar.
A bit, or that was a fantasy?
Well, that was that happened on the show.
Is that a bit or a fantasy?
Yeah, it was a real life bit that happened here in the studio in Lanham.
But you flipped that into a t-shirt, right?
Yeah, that was our first run.
How did the sales go?
I think we sold about 15.
Really? 16.
Yeah.
There's 15 shirts.
And are you making
there.
Them sort of one at a time?
Yeah, exactly.
Who's printing them for you?
We're using an online vendor. our goal, our ultimate goal is to get on Shark Tank and have them ask us about our margins. And then we can go, well, it costs us about $20 per shirt to make and our profits are about $3 each.
Like the worst margins ever.
Yeah, terrible margins. But Tom is a burgeoning t-shirt designer and I wanted to support my pal. So
how did you select that photo? The one, because actually Jason's being blocked out of that one, right? Because I think it was Jason... Angie and I.
Yeah, I think he got cropped. Now, this is all on Thom. You know, he's the designer. I'm just the money man.
Right, right.
But the one on the back was you at FanFest, I think, 3 years ago.
Right.
And I would
I think it's 10 years in the future, it looks like.
Well, I think I don't want to speak for Thom, but I think a part of it was to show between the two photos the weathering that's occurred in the last 10 years.
Oh, wow. So you're just hammering him.
So... Well, it's all in good fun. It's a it's bit day, I really think that comes through. And I'd also like to point out, I noticed that this year's FanFest. I don't know if it's because of all the homeless zings or this man is lost. Please help him find his home. But I noticed EB, you came this year dressed to the nines. I mean, you had a really
to
nice.
What?
To FanFest.
I don't even remember.
That was at the St. James.
I don't know if it was intentional, but I'd like to think it is.
Huh.
Reaction.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
What did I wear that day?
Do you have another t-shirt in the pipeline for the next bit day?
No. That'll come.
It has to happen organically.
Yeah. And then if people could just look at this sheet.
That's very important.
Yeah. That's very, very important. Great gift for the holidays.
Why can't you just say, follow my buddy Thom Radio?
Follow Thom Radio on Twitter.
Yeah.
You get all your information for your t-shirt. Yeah. I actually like the first photo. The second photo I don't like as much. The first photo I like is me and Angie. Yeah,
turn around for the cameras again to see. This is the infamous FanFest photo.
Right.
I just don't know why you had a backpack with you.
I can't remember. Where was that? That was at one of the Chantilly places?
Chantilly, yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember. Something going on. Who knows?
Because
I think we broadcast that day or something.
I think we did.
I think we had to broadcast. We broadcast, I always bring my backpack. So can I go to the phones real quick?
We got to do it after the break, but he says he knows all about it.
It would show up on my daughter's phone?
Yeah.
Does he have a plausible answer for it?
Yes, he does.
Yeah. All right, we'll do that, and then we'll get back into the calls, of course. And I know we have one more guest.
John Keim joins us coming up right around 9:25 from ESPN.com.
Perfect. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.